Good evening, everyone. It is 9 p.m. Eastern, and it is February 28th, last day of the month, 2018. And this is the Courtroom Observer's Call. Yeah, we don't have too many people on here tonight, but we do have a few. And I do have a little bit of news. I got a message from a group of people that were Patriot supporters, and they were cruising around through Google looking for information. And what did they find? They found our indictments on Google. So they contacted me to see if it was true. I said, yes, it is. So another group contacted me. Is it true? Yes, it is. So then, can we write articles on it? Absolutely. Can we spread it around Facebook? Absolutely. Spread the word. So our indictments are being spread everywhere. Looks like it may go viral. So I don't know what it all means, but I expect John and Gerard will be asked to be on radio talk shows and whatnot, do some interviews. But I think it's also going to speed things up a little bit for us and possibly get on track to be ready for whatever comes. Because I think things are coming pretty quickly. But I'm thinking maybe it's going to cause some excitement. I'm certainly hoping so. I had Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to make this one comment that John Duresh, in his paperwork, sent out letters to all of the media. Now, I'm talking about the mainstream media, InfoWars, any kind of media there is. He sent out messages, emails, and everything else for them to publicize this, and in the newspapers as well.
They didn't do it.
No one did it. So, if these people are now starting to publicize or cherry-pick what they're going to publish, now is the time to reprimand them that the whole damn media would not and refuse to publish what John had announced it was their duty to publish. I yield.
Well, Trump is taking on the mainstream media, so I expect to see some things happening. Hopefully. CNN, I think, is probably the number one that he's going after. But we know that mainstream media is not publishing what we want published, and so we're always glad to have the Patriots step up and find our work and go for it. These same people that contacted me today, I informed them about all the different information, all the different papers that have been written, and told them, gave them the link for NLA website, and some of them went immediately to the website and searching through it. They finding all the good information out. I'm sure a lot of it could go public real quick, be spread all over. Because these people from Oregon and Nevada, they looked at the indictment papers and their words were, wow, beautiful. They loved it. So I'm expecting that patriots will spread the word for us. And I expect probably we're going to be hearing from maybe Alex Jones, maybe several others of the smaller talk shows, but it's all gonna help spread the word about us and what we're doing. Now I had a program that I wanted to bring in tonight. But I find that because I don't have external speakers, the voice on this on these videos are not loud enough, and it's on the Bill of Rights, and the speaker is going through each one individually and explaining every one of them almost word for word. And I wanted so much to play that tonight, but I guess I'm going to have to plan it for another night. So,
sir, how many people are in the room tonight?
Well, let me see here. There's a total of five of us.
Why don't you ask the group what they would like to do?
Now, we usually have at least double this and more.
Is there anyone
that has anything that they'd like to talk about, maybe questions or whatever's on your mind?
Well, this is Courtroom Observers and John Lamb. That guy is saying that the guy, one of those people from Oregon, is still in prison, still?
Well, there's several of them that pled guilty.
Thinking
that was the best way to go. And they're still in. In fact, they're still sentencing some of them. There's one of them, Ryan Payne. They're trying to get him 3.5 years. Even though the main people, all the charges were dismissed, they're still trying to hang these other guys. So there's still a battle going on. There's still fighting to be done. And the Hammonds are the ranchers that are in prison on double jeopardy. They're still in prison. So there's still work to be done. Now,
what happened with John Lamb? Is there something with that
John
guy?
Lamb? John Lamb is still around. He's still making videos. However, he's not a friend of the MLA. He doesn't think that we did anything. He I approached him and asked him to make some affidavits for us, and he refused to do it because we weren't there sitting in the courtroom with him every day. And so therefore, we didn't do anything to help the Patriots. Now, he might change his tune once he sees these indictments. These indictments are being spread around Facebook right now. Yeah, he became a meme. You know, it all went to his head that he was doing so much to help the Patriots. He's not the only one. Of course, there were Fed-paid agitators mixed in with the supporters, and their job was to cause problems between the different factions to kind of break up the support. And at least one of them has been pretty successful. And that one, now he got himself in trouble in Oregon just recently. And he's facing some jail time, and he was out on bail, and he ran to Mexico, and so he didn't show up for his trial. So now there's a warrant out for his arrest for that. And he's still in Mexico, but he's still stirring up issues. He calls his friend John Lamb and feeds him a bunch of stuff, and John Lamb carries out the duties for him, spreading the propaganda. So, yeah, behind the scenes, there's still a lot of stuff happening.
I was hoping Crystal would come on this call. She's been having some kind of success with her foreclosure. Have you heard about that?
Oh, yeah, I've heard it over and over. Yeah, last night she was on, and you know, I don't like to do those things, but it just kept going, and telling people, you know, we've got to get off this call. I've got other things going on I got to get to, and I kept getting ignored, and so finally I just had to hang up. So they're probably upset with me, but they don't understand that I'm on this computer pretty much 7 days a week from the time I get out of bed until time to go back to bed. So I really don't have much of a personal life. And so whenever I say I need a break, I need a break. Everybody, you know, everybody on these calls has something important to say. And I like to be able to give people a chance to say what they need to say. But sometimes I have to clamp down and stop things because of my schedule. But Crystal, I'm very proud of what she's been doing. She's been hanging in there. And she's fighting a good fight, and I think she's going to win it.
Well, what's really got me excited about her is she's dragging a whole a cadre of people along with her. They're interested in L.A.
Absolutely. She has a following, and she's very good at what she's doing. You know,
I would like to give her advice, but I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know when the right time would be.
Well, there's good people giving her advice, and that's helping her win.
Well, you know, like she says, there's nothing but all these lawyers hanging around in the courtroom, and they're the ones that are filing the paperwork.
They're the ones that's causing all the grief on her.
Right. Well, every one of these lawyers has a bar license, and they also have errors and omissions insurance. And what she can do there is follow some of Captain John's advice and look up their bar credentials and exactly how they're using the name on their license as opposed to the paper they're signing, and get a hold of the bar and come down on these guys, because what they're doing is illegal. It's fraud.
Yes, it is.
They
well,
can all lose their license to practice law. And for these ambulance chasers, that would be like chopping off their heads.
Well, right now, they're being investigated by the Attorney General's office. They got interested in her case when they actually took a look at what they were doing to her. And so they started investigating. They assigned an investigator to her for her case. And so I got a feeling there's going to be some attorneys that are taken down.
Well, it's been my experience that any time that the attorney general and some kind of investigator from the state gets involved, they're very good at finding people and putting them in prison or jail, but they don't do one little thing for the injured party. No one is ever compensated like they are in the common law.
Well, the way she handled it, it looks like they took a big interest in helping her. I'm hoping, because I've always felt the same way as you on that. But from Crystal, it sounds like they've really come around and seen what's happening for her. And it's obviously all wrong. I mean, her home is paid off. What are they trying to do to her, you know? It's been paid off for a long time, and they've done paperwork to make it look like she had just bought it. So it looks like she's probably still making payments, and she's not. So when the Attorney General saw that, then, he jumped aboard. I got on the news tonight, they were talking about an attorney out here in Portland trying to kill another attorney. Did a drive by this other attorney's office and shot it full of bullet holes. I thought, well, heck, now the attorneys are shooting each other. Way to go. Keep it going. Get rid of a few of them.
Mail them a case of bullets.
I'll tell you, they say keep Portland weird. They have. Of course, now Portland has decided they're a sanctuary city officially. So that'll go over like a lead balloon.
Actually,
still a few more people have shown up.
The sanctuary city idea is actually a real good idea, because it's just like remember Sheriff Mack?
Yeah.
Was fighting Clinton over that gun deal.
Yeah.
Same damn thing. The sheriff works for the elected people. So does the governor. And they can ban the federal government and all the crap they're trying to do. Legally, I think they can kick the IRS, the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, and every other federal criminal out of that goddamn state if they want to. Pardon my friend.
Well, they can. The sheriff has the, in his respective county, has more authority than anyone, including the federal government. So, yes, he can run them off. We have a sheriff here in Oregon that the feds were out harassing one of the dairy farmers in his county. And he went out and told them to leave. They said, okay, we'll leave, but we'll be back with our backup. The sheriff says, that's all right. You get on out of here and you bring your posse back with you. I've got my own. They didn't come back. And during the time that Lavoie Finicum was murdered, they were on their way over to see that sheriff when the roadblock stopped them. And the state tried to get rid of the sheriff. But that sheriff is very popular in his county. He's very constitutional, and the people stood up and protected him. There was an election happening, and they reelected him. So the state lost it, that one, too. But that's the thing with the sheriffs. They've got to have the people in their county backing them. Otherwise, you know, there's nothing much they can do on their own. The state, I know in Oregon, they make the sheriffs have a certificate, law enforcement certificate. And if the state doesn't like what they're doing, they pull that certificate, and then he can't work as a sheriff or any other law enforcement. And so in counties where the sheriff is not real popular or hasn't gotten the people behind him, they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, and they kind of have to, if they want their job, they have to toe the line that the state lays on them. So I think the best way of changing a lot of that is to educate the people. And to educate the people, I think the best way is through a committee of safety. Whereas the core group is well versed on the Constitution and the duties of the sheriff, and, you know, and hold their regular meetings and teach the people what they need to know. And once the people begin to understand the Constitution and the other things they need to know, then they're more likely to stand together and get behind the sheriff and demand that the law be followed, common law. But education is key everywhere.
if you can get the people
to unite, they control what happens in their county, and that'll get rid of the corruption. But you got to have the people united in order to do it. And the only way I can see that happening is through education. So it's, now we are, you know, we have our Constitution course, the civics course, and there's more coming. We're about to hit education big time again. And I think everybody's going to be very happy with what they see when it's ready to go.
May I offer a suggestion?
Sure.
I think that the education is great, but I think we need to be progressive and active.
Well, yes, but I mean, to be progressive and active, then you have to be educated to know how and what you should be doing.
Exactly, but my point is this. When you've taken the constitutional civics course, you understand the Constitution, the power of the sheriff, blah, blah, blah. Okay. When you get a jury summons in the mail, when it's your turn to go serve on the jury, at that point in time, you should pull a Captain Ron or whatever the captain's name is, and send the people that are petitioning for the jury a demand letter demanding that you be a juror under the common law, where the whole truth will be heard, and the jury and the lawyers will not tell you, and the judge will not tell you what you can and cannot hear, that the foreman of the jury will do the inquiry, and you will ask specific questions of the witnesses to get to the truth.
Well, I agree.
See, that's
however,
what I'm talking about. We don't have instructions for the jury to submit to these idiots and demand that they be the court of record be ran by these standards, or it is not a court of record and you will not serve because it's treason against the Constitution. These are the kind of documents we need to send these people. I yield.
But, you know, as it is today, the way they run it, if the people are educated on the Constitution and common law and civics, everything, they should accept the duties of going and being a jurist. But they each individually should operate by the rules of the Constitution. And in other words, they go up, they're selected as a jury. The DA or prosecutor addresses the jury and gives instruction. That juror should say, well, that was illegal. That was not constitutional. And therefore, in my mind, this case is dismissed. Find the man not guilty. Because in a constitutional court, the petit jury, the 12-person jury, has the authority to judge the law and the offense. And if the law that was used to arrest this person was not right, they have the right to dismiss the case. They also, the jury are the ones that decide guilt or innocence, and they also decide the punishment. Not to judge, a prosecutor, or any of them. It's the 12-person jury. So if they go in as a jurist and the Constitution is not being followed, then it should be a not guilty. And things would change. Once they realize that not following the Constitution is going to get everybody released as not guilty, they'll know they have to change. But the jury can bring that about. The judges and the courts, they know this. It's like they won't accept me as a jurist. I got a notice to report to be a jurist, and I put a smile on my face. I said, great, I'll be there. Day before I was to report, I received a letter saying my services were no longer needed. Somebody there knew that I was constitutionalist, and so they refused me, and they won't call me again. And that happens to a lot of people. That, you know, a lot of the different patriots, the courts won't accept them. But that's the way the people can make changes. That's the power of the people. So, once again, education. People need to know the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. They need to know it all. A lot of people who say they know the Constitution, it's just they know one or two small parts of it. They don't know it all. But it's very important that the people do know it. The problem that I see in this day is that people do not know any longer how to be free. To be free is to live your life in a way that makes you happy, so long as it's not infringing on another person's right to be free, which means you have to be able to think for yourself. You have to make decisions for yourself. And then you can be free. But too many people rely on what somebody else says because they're not thinking for themselves. They're either too lazy or they're unable to make their own decisions. So it's going to be a hard road to go down. But we've got to do it. Because we're getting close to a point where people are going to have to learn how to be free again. So much of what we're doing here in the NLA, of course, is teaching, trying to help people help themselves, and of course you see that there are a lot of people that don't know how to help themselves. They need help.
we try to help. But people must be willing to help themselves. And yes, there are those of us who can help, but a person must always be willing to help himself first. So it always goes back, in my mind, it always goes back to education. Not arithmetic or anything like that, just knowing what your rights are, knowing the Constitution, knowing God's law, and God's law being common law, which is God's natural law. There are too many who think that natural law is different than common law, and that they're different than God's law, but they're all one and the same. So, I don't have all the answers. All I can do is just keep on trying to help people learn. And of course, I was just like everyone else in the past. I remember being free. Where I was born and raised, I was free. And my parents allowed me to be free, and they just taught me what was right and wrong. They allowed me to make my own decisions.
My father was like that, Robert. He gave me a roof over my head, but he didn't try to control me.
Yep, that was my parents.
And that way, a young man or woman can venture out into the world, you know, just like a songbird does, and find out, you know, what natural life is about. Your life
is
controlled.
That's what they allowed me to do.
Yeah, if your life is controlled by somebody, you're only going to experience what they're controlling, and you'll never ever be free.
Well, that's right.
Although some people instinctively will break away from that, so.
Well, everybody should. I mean, there should be, everybody should instinctively want to be free. And they should know instinctively right from wrong. And I think they do. There are many, many different things that could cause them not to care, or maybe do the wrong thing purposely. But we must, I think, above all else, teach the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence. We need people to know it and want to live by it.
I've been venturing into my mind is the old common sense Thomas Paine and the relationship to that in common law. You know, it's all one and the same. It's fairly simple stuff. You just stick with it and not let people trick you.
Well, common law is very simple. I mean, if you don't know what it is, look into your heart. You'll find it. You might ask yourself, well, if I do this, is it wrong or right? Look into your heart. Look into yourself. Would you want somebody to do it to you? If no, well then, you shouldn't do it.
And, that's a slogan I heard last night, do no harm.
Yeah, do no harm. And, do not steal. And that covers a whole lot of different things.
Including the Ten Commandments.
That's right.
Which we've discussed, how they've abused that, stealing our resources to the point where we can't stand it anymore and are responding. At least that's been my experience.
Well, the legislature needs to know and abide by the fact that they are the people's servant, and servants cannot make law which controls the behavior of the masters.
Just
and if they don't abide by that.
It's just being ignored as though it's the other way around, as though they do have a right to master us.
Well, they want us to believe they have that right, that we elected them to do that, but no, that's not right.
Well, I heard Gary say it the other night. What state is Gary in, one of our NLA leadership, Gary? I don't know his last name.
I think that's Michigan.
All right. He was just talking about in the preamble of the Constitution, the short version, how the federal government just looks at that and ignores all five articles of their prohibitions, including the Bill of Rights. And they just look at what we desire in our opening statement, the preamble, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty, et cetera, et cetera, that they say, well, we're going to do anything in our power, including locking up half of you to secure the blessings of liberty for the other half, and, all under unconstitutional, anything but common law violations. And Gary said it in a great way, and I'd never thought of it that way.
Well, that's right, and... they do not have the authority to make law controlling the people's behavior, but also the people need to know, and most of them do not, that if Congress makes law that is not constitutional, the people have no obligation to follow and obey that law. And it says that... Pardon?
There's plenty of case law about that being ignored by the court.
Well,
go ahead.
If they make law that controls your behavior or in any other way is not constitutional, you have no obligation to obey it. And in fact, you should not obey it.
Otherwise, but, you're actually consenting to it.
Yes.
And
people are too afraid that they'll go to jail.
I was just having a conversation with a new NLA member in Northern New Mexico about that. If people don't stand up, then it will deteriorate to total control.
Right.
In their fear that I don't want to get in trouble, I don't want to, get shot at, or be a target. Somebody's got to stand up. So.
Well.
I think they did that in around 1770-something, didn't they? Finally they couldn't take anymore, so. And we've gotten close to that situation again.
Well, we should be at that situation where people will not take any more. It is time for people in massive numbers to stand up and say no more. Now, I have tried to organize protests. What I would like to see is at least 1,000 people in every state at the same time of the same day, the same hour, form in front of their state capital to all protest, and maybe even get the truckers to just stop at that time wherever they are on the highway and just block traffic. As a signal that we will not take what's happening to us any longer. We go back to common law and the Constitution, or America is shut down.
It'd be a beautiful thing. Beautiful event. Do it without asking the government for a permit to make that appearance.
That's right. We the people do not have to ask the government for anything.
Matter of fact, I haven't heard of a large demonstration on any news event in quite some time. At least 5 years, I would say. The opposite of that is I just saw a pictures of, look like all millennials, young people in front of the Washington Capitol with signs about the Second Amendment. One sign said that the Second Amendment is a health issue. And I was just discussing that with this new member, that actually they're there parading, saying, make us slaves. And they don't even realize that. And there was at least 1,000 there, Robert.
Well, you know, large crowds gather, but it's usually for the wrong reason. It's like those of us who abide by law and the Constitution and all that, we never gather in large protests. Now, like Antifa, why can't we, the good people, form large protests like that? Why can't we go out and do it?
Well, I have to think back to sometime before the turn of the century, there were large groups protesting, what was it, Seattle, Washington, and the government came out and made mass arrest, and that was, what was that, around 98, 97? Was it right after 2000? I can't remember if it was the Clinton or Bush administration, but there was definitely... What was happening was anytime there was a mass protest, the government was immediately making mass arrests, and that began the shutting down of the protest.
Yeah, well, that was usually the Democrats had the presidency or control of Congress.
Just right down to police chiefs,
yeah.
Mayors, you know, all involved.
And Seattle is a liberal city. Now I had a lot of people that wanted to help me form a protest like that, but we were unable to make it happen. Maybe it's just because I didn't know how. I don't know. I thought we had something good going when they had a big protest a few years ago. An ex-army officer formed it. And it looks like there was going to be 10 million people in Washington, D.C.
That was 2013.
When it all came down to it, there weren't that many there.
We believe that was around Sandy Hook, I believe that was when the Adam Karach got arrested for displaying a weapon in Washington, D.C. area.
Yeah, now he tried to get people to follow him, and he said he was going by himself if he had to. We figured he'd get killed, but he didn't.
Well, I have to admit, at that time, I didn't understand the corporate 10 square miles Washington, D.C., so that's a different reflection of, not that it wasn't perfectly legal to be doing what they were doing.
Well, in Washington, D.C., that 10 square miles, that's not the United States. They can do whatever they want in that 10 square mile.
I personally believe that's a violation of the intent of the Constitution, though.
I believe it is.
Is that 8 or 10 where it describes that? And it's in the last, after the last comma, you see that it really is not following the true intent of the Constitution. And the wording
gave
them that ability where it says that anything goes that the legislature passes, you know.
Within that 10
That's
square
right.
miles.
Yeah.
However,
it's
not supposed to expand out to the rest of us.
Well, it's not supposed to violate the rest of the Constitution still. They're just designating the 10 square miles and protecting the right of the federal government in legislating their authority. And so
well,
it was really bad wording, in my opinion.
Well,
what they're really doing is they did not want the federal government to be in any specific state, so it would overrule the state capital and give that state a monopoly on power. So they created a District of Columbia so it would be independent on its own enclave. But still, it's supposed to obey the Constitution to the letter of the law.
Yes, it is.
Right. That's the intent, Fred. You're absolutely right. That's what I was trying to say. I'm going to look for that clause now. It's just taking advantage of the English language once again. It's a group of people with fiat currency that are just, how can we subvert and take back control of the colonies and not just the District of Columbia, but what they used to call Columbia in Virginia, the New World.
Well, I think very soon it'll all be back to the way it's supposed to be, but there'll be a whole lot of,
okay. I've got it here. It's an article on Section 8. Starts off, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over said district. And that has been abused, meaning that, in this 10 square miles, we can say that all healthy males over 25 years old, we can legislate that to have them hung by the neck until dead, is what they're claiming. And that's an abuse of the intent of all the rest of the, it would make the rest of the Constitution meaningless, null and void. And so that's my opinion as I learn more and more about power.
Well, one thing about it, Trump has taken us back to the constitutional republic. Now he gets a straying off a little bit once in a while, but he gets back in line. But the biggest thing is, we the people must stand with him. Because he cannot do it all himself. So we need to know the Constitution and stand with him and demand what we want.
I would like to make a point. Now, regarding this 10-mile square area of District of Columbia, I would like you also to know one other thing, that there is a federal claims court there as well in District of Columbia. And that is the only, excuse me, constitutional court that you can address something that is a constitutional violation because it's seated on federal property. Look that up if you want to look something up, because it's jurisdiction. And I've tried to tell John Duresh that, but it somehow goes in one ear and out the other.
Well, Fred, what would be the purpose of the 94 federal districts then? They get to just pretend and play games with our rights?
No. It's where they take the constitutional amendments and the Supreme Court decisions and everything as it applies, and they apply it to case law. What I'm telling you is, if you're going to take and challenge the federal government over a statutory law versus constitutional jurisdiction or power, that is the proper court to bring it up. It's where you should transfer your case to hear it. You understand now? It's the proper.
Well, I was actually advised by an NLA member to forward my stuff to Washington, D.C. at one time.
Right. It's the federal claims court. Now, if you go to the federal claims court and you look at what they're doing, you will see that they have taken the ability to challenge a federal statute according to the Constitutional Bill of Rights, and they've taken those papers out, and you no longer can do it. And they've done it recently in the last couple of years. Now, my question is, why and what gave them the authority to speak for the people?
There's a lot of foot dragging going on as part of that, but you know, once we restore all our Article III courts, processes such as that should work in every district too, in my opinion. But I was advised to do that, so what you've heard other people are aware of too, so.
Well,
yeah,
we're on the internet.
I'll give you an A-minus on that. So, what?
I've heard that, but I've not looked into it, and I probably should. That's one thing I've been lazy on.
They didn't title it a claims court. They actually advised me to forward my federal pleading right to Attorney General Sessions was the information I had. So,
well, here we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to let everybody know that wasn't here at the beginning of the call that a group of the patriots were looking around through Google this afternoon, and they found our indictments on there. And so they contacted me to see if it was true, and I told them yes. They asked me if they could write articles on it. I said, yes, do it. They asked me if they could spread it around Facebook and everywhere. I said, spread it to the world. Go for it. So,
great news, and I missed that information at the beginning.
Yeah, so it's very possible that our 24-page indictment document will go viral.
And the people will become aware that we, the people, have already redressed grievances to the federal government.
Yes.
With the answer being silence up to this point, because not enough people are standing up.
Well, I know the groups that contacted me about it were very excited about it. They read it and just talk about how beautiful it is.
It is a beautiful document.
And so a bunch of them even came into the website, the National Liberty website, wanted to know more.
Are you allowed to say name these groups, or is that privileged information at this point?
No, they're not groups with names. I mean, they're just individuals that are always together and
And they're patriot supporters. Yes. They're the people that were standing at the courthouse during the trials, and people in Oregon and Nevada that have done a lot of work in support of the guys that were locked up.
Individually, I was advising a few people in the last 2 days about the redress grievances that they were unaware of.
Yeah. So I'm waiting to see where it goes. I'm expecting John and Gerard to be asked for interviews by
Great.
Different talk shows and stuff. So, well, that's all I've got for tonight. It's it. It's time for us to close off, and I'm glad everybody was here tonight. And we'll see some of you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is the natural healing and then the COS.
God bless.
So God bless everyone.
Good night.
Good night, Robert, and
night,
we
folks.
Really appreciate you.